I'd like to call the meeting back to order, ask people to take their seats. I want to welcome KPFA supporters from the North Bay and Sonoma who have joined us. I want to say that if you want to speak to the board, there's a a clipboard right there where you sign up for public comments. And depending on how many names we have on the public comments, we'll decide how much time each of you will be allotted. And I thought it would be, since we haven't been in this area for a long time, perhaps what we should do is go around the table and just have every member of the LSB say their name so that you'll know who we are and who you're talking to, okay? So I'm going to start with Tanya.
I'm Tanya Russell. What else am I supposed to say?
That's all.
I'm Jack Kurzweil.
Andrew Phillips.
Richard Withers.
David Siegel.
Pamela Drake.
Barbara Wickerman.
Barbara's the treasurer. I'm Margie Wilkinson. I'm the chair.
Craig Alderson, the appointed secretary.
David Gans, board member.
Laura Prudis.
Con Hallinan.
Freya Turner.
Louis Zoya.
Cynthia Johnson.
I go by Google and break it on air. Maybe you're the other.
I'm Andrea Christian.
Okay, so let me once again invite anyone who wants to address the board to sign the clipboard. If there's anyone who hasn't had a chance to sign it, now's your opportunity. And I'm going to ask the gentleman who has the video camera to explain what he's doing. Thank you. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. And as long as no one has any objections, I think that's fine. Are there any objections? Great. Thank you very much. Go right ahead. All right. Has everyone who's wanted to speak signed up? Okay. So I need to get
three names.
If there are three speakers, do you have, chair have a proposal how long each speaker is given? Because I'll be timing.
Yes. Well, I would propose that we give each speaker a maximum of 4 minutes. Is that all right? Okay. Okay. So the first name on the list is Mike Smith.
Hi. My name is Mike Smith. I'm a KPFA member. I live in Sonoma. I've served on the Santa Rosa Community College Board of Trustees and the Sonoma Valley Healthcare District. I've been involved in progressive politics from the free speech movement, the civil rights movement in the South, Stop the Draft Week, and I've worked for 40 years as a union organizer, primarily with SEIU, in those days better known as Local 250. Before the war started, and I'm here to, I'm quite saddened by what I fear is happening with the fighting going on this board. To me, it's a little like the anarchists and communists fighting in Barcelona, or the splits, for example, that took place in SEIU, where people, instead of standing together and facing the common enemies, and as far as I'm concerned, we have more challenges than we ever did before. And I'm a strong union person. I'm going to be really frank. I support the Save KPFA people. I have a lot of respect for volunteerism, but from where I come from, if you want to become a carpenter, you become an apprentice. You don't suggest that workers who have organized unions and spent long time working for the employer are replaced by volunteers because it's a cheaper and better way to do that. And I have a very hard time accepting that progressives could take a position like that. I don't think it's a time for people to look at KPFA that was always there for us, always there for us. There was always somebody on the picket line or in the building that we turn ourselves into a community radio where it's possible to hear all sorts of exciting things about different projects that are interesting to other people, when we really need to build a mass movement which includes members of the Democratic Party, which I am. I'm one of the progressives in the Democratic Party, and we oppose a lot about Obama, and I'm asking for people, I'm telling you something, if the people who want to move in one direction succeed and reduce KPFA to a shadow of itself, which is a successful community-based radio where people can talk about anything they want, instead of a place that we desperately need, because as things grow dark, we have to grow together, which means, I bumped into a couple people that were good friends of mine at a reunion, and I won't say who they are, 45th reunion of the Free Speech Movement. And they were on the opposite side. And I went up to shake hands with them and say, you know, let's work together. And they said, no, we won, you guys lost. If that's the position you take, we're all going to suffer. So I'm asking for people to stop that stuff and respect the people and put, the union people back to work. Thank you.
Thank you, Mike. Barry Mason, followed by Ben Boyo. Did I say that right? Boyce, I'm sorry. Okay. Barry. Oh, there you are.
Thank you for coming up here. I wish there were more Sonoma County people here, but I'm glad you're all here. And I second everything Mike said, 100%. And I've listened to KPFA and been a contributing member since the mid-70s, and for the first time I'm fearful that the station is going to go under because of the conflict. And I tend to like to look at concrete evidence. And what I have seen is that when the listeners were given an opportunity to send in money to bring back the morning show, the money appeared very quickly. And then when you look at the fundraising tallies for which hours, which programming brought in the money in the present and, say, a year ago, it's radically dropped off between 7 and 9, I guess I'd say. So that tells me the listeners are voting with their checkbooks. And then when you look at the information from where people are listening online, what programs people are listening to, there's a radical drop-off between 7 and 9. And so it seems like the listeners are voting with their checkbooks, they're voting with their ears. And I want to ask, if KPFA is not for the listeners, who is it for? And I have heard someone, I forget who, say, well, we'll just go get new listeners. But in this media environment, you know, I don't even know the names of all the things people are listening, you know, on these days, Blackberries and computers and blah, blah, blah. people aren't flocking to radio, and if the long-term listeners are driven away, I'm really afraid there will not be anybody left to support KPFA. I was in Washington, D.C. I spent a week with a friend who lives there. She's a progressive. She's retired from the EPA. She had never heard of WPFW. And I wanted to hear it, so I, you know, listened to it in her house. And it was okay, but it wasn't nearly as good as KPFA. And it would be a huge tragedy to Northern California and to Pacifica if KPFA were lost. And I totally agree with Mike. This is not the time to fight. This is the time to pull together. Thank you.
Thank you, Barry. Ben Boyce, followed by Sam. And that's all the names I have on the list. Is there anyone else who? Okay.
Get closer here, so I'm not. My name is Ben Boyce, and this is the first time I've been to any KPFA meeting of any kind. I've been a donor for many years and have really appreciated what KPFA has been able to do in terms of being a conduit for the political work I do. I've served as the director of a group called the Living Wage Coalition. I currently work with a group, the Accountable Development Coalition. We do a lot of labor and transit-oriented policy work, and KPFA has been a resource for us in being able to get out our message on these policy issues. Max Pringle was a great contact for us as a labor reporter, and so we've seen KPFA as a medium through which we can help build the progressive movement, build support for progressive policy measures. And I'm here today because I'm concerned. I'm concerned about the viability of the station and whether it's going to continue to be able to serve this function as being a medium to help build a progressive movement. You know, my sympathies are quite clearly, given my labor background, with the Save KPFA folks, because the way I see that the station is going to have to go, if we're going to go forward, is we need to professionalize. We need to increase the number of paid staff. We need to upgrade the quality of their programming. I believe that the important function is to help build a constituency within the electoral domain for progressive policy. So I'm also part of Progressive Democrats of America, and I don't expect everybody to share my particular political perspective, but I would say this, that any differences between us are far outshadowed by the fact that we have a common enemy which is ascendant, has vast media capabilities. There's a very well-organized right-wing movement in this country which would like nothing better than to see KPFA go up in smoke and be replaced by some kind of commercial programming. So I'm here just making a plea that whatever differences there may be, and I'm alarmed by the tone of the communications I get on this issue. I thought we were allies. I thought we were friends. We have to do better, and I'm here to make that pitch. We've got to find a solution because we have a common enemy, and we have more in common with each other than we do with them. Thanks.
Thank you, Ben. Sam is the last person on the list. I don't know. Sam, what's your last name?
Hudnall.
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 Thank you.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Sonoma County. I'm part of the KPFA Outreach Committee in the North Bay. I'm starting up a new program here in the area, and I just want to invite especially everyone from Sonoma to come join our committee, and we're going to create community using information and culture that we learn from our great station, and it's all about promoting KPFA and getting more listeners and just outreaching to our community and networking and finding community groups who want to work together and people who want to work with them. And I just want to invite anybody to come talk to me and join up, and that's it. Have a nice day.
Thank you all very much. We're going to go. Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry I missed the
beginning. Oh, okay. Go ahead.
Hi. So my name's Adrienne Lobby. I work on the program Pushing Limits and also sometimes on the morning show mix. And I want to second Sam's invitation to North Bay people to join the listener group and mention the incredible work the Outreach Committee has done, which has kick-started this North Bay effort. And it's just been stellar, the way they approach this work and the way they're trying to reach out in a nonpartisan way but in a very effective way to bring KPFA back into the communities. So I want to applaud that. I also want to applaud our new management. That's really the heart of what I'm feeling these days. I walk into KPFA often. I've been there for 8 years in different capacities, and it's less tense. There are people talking to each other in a better way. It's still, you know, the divisions are still like canyons in the room, but there's bridges being raised across the canyons, and I'm very happy, and I'm very pleased that I thought a new management that was a really solid, good quality management would make a difference. But, you know, what do I know? So I'm really happy that it has. And I want to thank you for all the work that you do week after week, month after month. And I want to be part of building the bridges. So anybody, feel free to contact me from whatever area of the room you come from. Thanks.
Thank you, Adrienne. Thank you, everyone who has addressed the board. And now we're back to our regular agenda. This point on the agenda is for announcements. So I'll invite any members of the board who have announcements to make announcements. And if there's anyone here who's joined us today who wants to make an announcement, that would be fine. Anybody have any announcements? Tracy.
I guess this falls under the category of an acknowledgement, but for those who may or may not have been following it, there was a significant statewide action in San Francisco last week with the California Public Utilities Commission acting in a way in which they never act in terms of staking out a national place in the debate over whether an AT&T T-Mobile merger is in the best interests of the universe. I want to say in terms of KPFA that it's not exactly easy to turn out a bunch of people to come to a public utilities commission, and that was the challenge that a number of us faced. Oh yeah, among other things, and they don't make it easy there, but the alignment of KPFA and the tremendous help that I received noticeably from Mickey Huff and Peter Phillips, and also from Dennis Bernstein, of the public comment section, which we are told had a noticeable impact on the particular commissioner who provided the fifth vote. Over 65% of that was people who heard about it on KPFA and then came. Might have been closer to 70%. I'm still working on a couple of numbers, because I asked people how they heard about it, why they were there. It was by far, by 40 or 50%, the most potent organizing tool that we had. It made a tremendous difference. It changed policy. This business about radio being irrelevant, if you're a social justice activist, I'm telling you that it's not, and that it had a huge impact, potentially a national impact. So we should remember that, and I want to express my gratitude and my thanks, in addition to whatever relationship I have with KPFA over all of these years. In this case, I was behaving as a social justice advocate in the community, and it was of tremendous, tremendous help and support. The most single helpful thing that happened, to heck with social media. I sent out 50,000 emails. What got the people there was KPFA and Pacifica. So thank you.
Thank you. Okay, announcements. Cynthia.
I just want to announce that even though I live in Oakland and Berkeley in the East Bay, it is so exciting to be here in the North Bay. Hopefully we can get all these places. And So I'm associated with a place in Berkeley called the Berkeley Fellowship of Unitarian Universalists, and we depend on KPFA, and I especially want to invite everybody here to our events. We have Pastors for Peace, we have Brian Wilson, Jackie Cabasso. These are local things, and we have a fund and fundraiser remembering my late partner and some people that he particularly liked, Susan Crane from the North Bay, although she's in jail, and Cindy Sheehan, other people. You're all invited here to the July 22nd event in Berkeley. Even come down 1 hour, because I think it's important, even though I'm really happy that Andrew said that radio in some ways is a portal for other social networks. What you just said, the radio is so important for what you talked about, that 3-2 vote. And I certainly heard about it on KPFA and tried to get there. But anyway, I'm making confused things, but just go on our bfuu.org if you're interested in those events, because I want our board, I want our unpaid staff, our paid staff, all to come and meet together as much as possible. And that's all I want to say, how valuable it is, and I want to say how much I appreciate those four statements. I don't think there was anything we disagreed with.
I just want to announce that the KPFA apprenticeship program extended their application deadline till next Friday. So if anybody knows anybody or themselves who are interested in being in radio, you have another 6 days, Friday. Yeah, Friday the 24th. I believe it's 5 p.m. And you could download an application at kpfaapprentice.org. Also, I don't know if this is proper time to announce this, but Code Pink is going to be doing a big demonstration at Beale Air Force Base this coming weekend, Friday and Saturday, and listen up for some stories covering that this week on the Morning Mix, Flashpoints, and Living Room, and to join Code Pink at the event to ground the drones. It'll be in solidarity with the Pakistan demonstration that'll be happening the same time in Pakistan. So check that out if you can.
Thank you. Any other announcements? All right, thank you all very much. We're ready to move on to the next point on the agenda, which is the approval of the minutes. Board members have received copies of the minutes by email. They're also posted on the webpage. Are there any additions or correct? Oh, I'm sorry. I must begin first by asking if there's a motion to approve the minutes.
So moved.
And a second?
Second.
Thank you. Are there any additions or corrections to the minutes? I'm sorry? All right, okay, well, first let me ask if there are any additions or corrections. Yeah, and...
Yeah, there's seven objections. There were 9 submitted in writing, 2 were made, 7 remain. You will receive the emails.
I'm sorry, I didn't quite understand what you said, Tracy.
There are 7 pending objections to the minutes, yes.
So you wish to make corrections to the minutes?
There are 7 proposed corrections that the secretary has rejected.
Okay.
If those corrections are not going to be made, there is an objection to the minutes.
Okay, All right. So board members are free to vote to approve the minutes or not approve the minutes, and if there's no further discussion, we'll come to a vote. I'm sorry. Let's try and have one meeting. Tracy did not make a motion to change the minutes, right?
Yes, I made a motion to change the minutes. The secretary has not.
That's not what I understood
changes.
You to say. I'm sorry. You said you objected to the minutes, which that's fine.
Uh-huh.
So if you want to change the minutes, you have to make a motion to change the minutes.
It's not a question of a motion to change the minutes. The minutes are either changed or not, and then we vote on accepting those minutes or not accepting those minutes. If you would like me to make a motion that I would like the secretary to make the changes that I had requested, and the secretary has not made them, then I will go ahead and do that, and we can vote on it. But we will then need to vote whether or not to accept the minutes as originally submitted or not. It's up to you.
Right. Unless there is a motion to make a change in the minutes, we will vote on the minutes as they have been offered by the secretary, and members of the board are free to either vote that motion up or down.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's save some time then and just go ahead and vote them as they are.
All right, thank you.
Corrections have been made and rejected.
Okay, all right, thank you.
We all have the email.
All right, thank you very much. So now we're ready to come to a vote on the minutes. Okay, are there any objections to adopting the minutes as corrected? Okay, so let's, would you like it to be recorded in the minutes? Shall we do a roll call? What? Okay, so I saw two objections. Are there any additional objections? Three. Three objections to the minutes. Four. Five. Any more? Yes. Sure, that's fine. All those in favor of adopting the minutes as corrected, please raise your hands. I asked for discussion. I right, objections. That means that's how you do it. If you want to change something in the minutes, you say, the minutes say thus. I think the minutes should say thus. I so move. And then we vote that up or down. That's how it works. Otherwise, we just vote on the minutes as they are. And if you don't like the minutes, you can vote against them. I'm sorry. I'm sorry I didn't make the procedure clear.
I'd like to comment on the minutes.
All right. The vote is suspended. Andrea would like to comment on the minutes.
My objection, you know, I don't want to take a long time on the minutes. I don't want the minutes to go on. And some of the conversation that's happened on the email about the minutes, you know, I think I agree with a lot of it. I think in the minutes there are words like, especially in there's a summary of the general manager's report with words like, the general manager criticized this, blamed that, et cetera. And I think that they're consciously or unconsciously, are value judgments being put, that there's editorializing going on. And I guess what I would be looking for in the minutes is a more value-neutral way of communicating the information and creating those summaries without without editorializing. And sometimes it's hard to avoid that. And I also want to acknowledge and appreciate the secretary's efforts to bring this, and please don't mistake my gratitude. I'm certainly grateful that you've contributed this work. But to make it even better, I think it would be wonderful not to have that sort of stuff in the minutes.
Okay. So that was a comment on the minutes. Are there any additional comments on the minutes? Rich. Give Rich a microphone.
I believe when somebody gives a report, they usually give a written report in addition, and that's attached as part of the minutes. And I think the problem is we have a lot of people who give reports verbal, and then there's no record. I think that's what is causing this issue. And I'd like to stress that maybe if people, when they give their report, if they can also submit a written copy to go into the record, that would probably help resolve this problem a lot of then, you know, accusations of editorializing by the secretary as he tries to interpret what they said. And if we could do that, it would, I think, help everybody, because then people who weren't here could go back and actually read the report rather than somebody's interpretation of what was said. And thank you.
I think that's an excellent suggestion. Sharam.
Yes. I would like to basically support what Andrew Pritchard just said. And I'll give you an example. During that meeting in May, when there was a staff report, paid and unpaid, I made it very clear in my discussion that kpfaworker.org does not represent me or the majority of the staff. And then subsequently, I asked Antonio Ortiz to find out who runs that website. 2 months have gone by. I haven't heard anything. That's just my footnote to what what we discussed at one time. But for instance, something to me that may be significant. Why is it not included in the minutes? See, this is the problem. Everybody thinks, every one of us, I'm sure, have their own what you call discretion in terms of what is important and what is not. So I think it would be best if we just went back to the format that, as I understand it, this board has always been exercising. That is, you know, just put the motions, the votes, you know, the reports by the management, the things that are not, that are basically, essentially, I want to say, objective. So that's my two cents. Thanks.
I'm going to call on Craig, and then I'll call on Con.
Well, just responding to your point, Andrea, I mean, I totally agree. I tried to do this in as, you know, neutral a way, as you know, factual as I could. And to me, it was, the report was from the general manager, was very critical, and it seemed that to say he criticized this or criticized that was basically reporting. But I'm happy, I can replace the words criticized. I did remove the word blame in one case, and I see there's another. I'm happy to replace those with the word said, so it's a little more neutral. I do think it's important for the sake of our listeners, as I've explained in my email responses on this, one of the purposes of the minutes is so that our listenership and our community radio station can stay abreast of what's happening in the station. And with respect to Sharam's comment, I do the best I can. I try to summarize the main points fairly, and if you believe I've missed something, please let me know, and I will add it in. And that's one of the purposes of circulating the minutes. I am by no means perfect. This is a collective effort, so I would appreciate, what everybody says. And just to respond to what Tracy was saying earlier about the points I rejected, there is an email about this. The reasons I did not include several of her recommendations is that they were simply factually wrong. I went back, I listened to the audio files, I transcribed what was said and sent that around in the email to the board, and my notes, I believe, fairly summarized those, and in Tracy's corrections did not. Remember, what I need to report is what was transacted at the meeting, not what we intended to mean or not what we believed we said, or in retrospect, not what our memory plays tricks on, the games, the tricks our memories play on us. So I did go back and verify those, and those are in the email, and that's why I didn't think it was appropriate to include those. So I'm doing the best I can, and I appreciate the help of everybody. Thank you.
Okay, Con, I want to point out that we're out of time on this agenda item, and I hope we'll be able to come to a vote.
Okay, I just want to say very shortly that I think for the first time we've had minutes which are now translatable to our listeners at large. And instead of sending them to listen to several hours of oral tape, they can actually read what happened at the meetings, and this is part of making this a more open organization and more transparent organization.
Okay. Is there any further discussion on the minutes? All right, now we're ready to come to a vote. So I will once again say, for those of you who think that the minutes should not be approved, please vote no. I'm going to start with a show of hands. All those in favor of approving the minutes, please raise your hands.
Nine. All hands are up. Nine.
Okay, those opposed. Six. Abstentions. Okay. Thank you very much. We are ready to move on now to the general manager's report. And I just want to say that in the two previous meetings, we've had extended time on the general manager's report, but because we've got a shorter time today, and because we need to get to the budget, we're going to stick to the half hour. So Andrew, as our past practice is, Andrew will speak, say whatever he has to say. We'll have discussion, and when the half hour is up, that'll be the end of it. Okay? Everybody ready for that? Go ahead, Andrew.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This should be quite shorter, and I hope. On finances, as we've discussed to some extent, our business manager, Maria Negrette, has been working in close collaboration with the LSB treasurer, but numbers for the upcoming financial year are not yet final at this point. We do have some draft numbers and have been meeting with station personnel, particularly our technical staff, to isolate future needs. I note that the draft is slated to be ready by the end of this month, and I think the PNB, the Pacifica National Board deadline, is September the 1st for the final budget. Work is proceeding at KPFA on a new phone system. The budgeted amount for the system is $50,000, It was included in our 2011 budget. The new system will be more reliable. There have been instances in the past when our system has failed, and one during our recent fund drive. Fortunately, our technical director, Michael Yoshida, was able to reboot the system early one morning, and so we were back online without great loss of phone connection. The new system should ensure this will not happen in the future. As I told the LSB 2 months ago, the transmitter site has been broken into more than once, and now three times, once again in the past 10 days. Despite the fact we have installed cameras, as discussed at a previous meeting, because of fog on that particular occasion, it was not possible to identify the intruders. The fence was cut because our tech staff, however, had armed the premises with an audio alarm, which is connected electronically to technical staff also. I think there's an email connection or a text connection which goes to them if the alarm is triggered. The intruders left without taking anything, probably frightened away by that audio alarm. The repair for the fence would cost us $500, however. Money set aside for security cameras at the transmitter site amounted to approximately $10,000 and had not been budgeted for. We'd hoped that money might also cover security at KPFA studios, but additional funds will be required for security cameras at the station, where there has been some pilfering in the past. We're still working on installing those cameras and rearming a broken fire door, a security door at the back of the station to ensure security on the premises. In terms of actual income from our most recent fundraiser that ended on the 25th of May, our final projected numbers are as follows. Our goal was $825,000. We raised $745,000. However, after deducting the monies owed Los Angeles station KPFK, where our news and letters and politics runs, we pay Los Angeles an amount of money based on zip codes recorded in our phone room. KPFA actually made $713,000. In other words, we had to deduct a figure of roughly $30,000 to give to KPFK because monies came from their audience, from our program. I think that's... we're looking into reasons, however, why we have not charged KPFK for our programming and for the fundraising on their behalf. It's an area we may be able to pick up a little bit of money since we're raising money on their behalf but not receiving any benefit at the station. The number for KPFA, therefore, is $713,000 is the actual amount pledged, however, not the actual amount brought in or paid to KPFA. Our fulfillment rate is one of the best in radio. It's almost 90%. So that $713,000 represents the amount pledged but not actually received. However, if one takes that 90%, we expect to receive an actual amount of $641,000. An actual amount of $641,000. Out of this amount, we've been asked by Pacifica National Office to deduct approximately $30,000 to meet national office commitments to central services like payments for Democracy Now! And Free Speech Radio News, plus insurance and auditing costs generated by the network and by KPFA. The final amount we expect from our May fundraiser after all deductions, therefore, would be $611,000. Salaries. We know that our salaries are still running over. That is because last year when cuts were projected by previous management and the Pacifica National Office, some current positions at the station were slated to be cut or hours reduced. At the time, some staff were offered the opportunity to resign and essentially be bought out of their positions, and I believe the number was 7 staff has accepted the package and resigned. However, it seems this was not sufficient. It may be necessary to explore other, or it is necessary to explore other cost-cutting strategies if our income streams do not increase. It may be necessary, and I stress maybe, necessary to reduce some hours for some of our staff, but this is currently not a plan. We want to further explore our budget and try to find ways to reduce our expenses before resorting to paid staff cutbacks, and we'd like to do all of this in conjunction with the local station board. Development. We currently do not have a development director. We do, however, have a projected salary line for a development director. But the amount for this position is only $40,000. Some of this projected income has been already allocated towards paying for increased security mentioned above previously. We spent a little bit of that money on the $10,000 for the security at the transmitter site. The amount of $40,000 is actually insufficient to pay for a development director, however. A more realistic number would be almost double that. At this time, I see no way to hire a development director, but I will strongly urge that such a position be projected into the 2012 budget. We do, however, have a half-time person who coordinates special events. And that position, that person, has worked hard through the years on many special events and has raised many thousands of dollars for KPFA and in some way represents a development position. So in some sense, KPFA does do development, but not in a traditional way. I just want to point that out. NFCB, the National Federation of Community Broadcasters. The NFCB conference was held in San Francisco 3 weeks ago. At our last meeting, I said I thought it was somewhat disappointing that KPFA was not better represented at the conference in terms of running workshops and one thing and another. Whilst KPFA was one of the host stations, we were not asked, nor did we provide any special events, and last time I said I thought this was disappointing. I did approach the NFCB and ask if we could participate. They told me that they were already catered for. However, since KPFA was the first community station in the nation, in the world for that matter, and many at the conference were alumni of our station and said so, it was disappointing that we couldn't have played a larger role. However, youth radio, which was spawned by KPFA but then left the station some years back, they now have their own building and can be heard on National Public Radio. They were represented at the conference, so in some senses we did have that influence. Some of our staff took part in workshops and presented. I gave a short welcome speech. A few of our staff attended workshops. I attended one, particularly a fundraising workshop led by a local fundraiser, Kim Klein. It was an outstanding workshop. I have detailed notes, and I'll be happy to share those with the with the LSB and others interested when I circulate them in about a week's time. She was great. There was a very successful affiliates meeting run by Ursula Rudenberg, Pacifica's affiliate director. We have about 170 affiliated stations, and they seem very pleased with the way things had been progressing at a network level, and that was encouraging. Disability in Action, a program we have at KPFA. I met with our Disability in Action people. It was my second meeting in 3 months. And was told that the LSB, this body, had some time ago passed a resolution, I think in 2008 and or 2009, that might set aside dollars for disability activist Jane Jackson, a plaque on her behalf, who I understand is responsible for the front door access at the station. And I was asked to bring this to the attention of the board and wondering if we could release this money to have that plaque installed. Whilst KPFA is probably better than most in terms of disability facilities, I was reminded that we still need a number of improvements to bring us into the disability code. For instance, there's no braille signage at KPFA, and light switches are difficult for people in wheelchairs to reach. And there were other elements too, which we'll be working on in the future. Programming. As announced at the last LSB meeting, we currently have no plans for program changes following our efforts, which some months previously they were cancelled. We are, however, waiting for the establishment and reinvigorated program council that, as it stands, would include two LSB members, two community advisory board members, three staff, which would include the program director, and that would be paid staff, and three unpaid staff members for a total of nine. And we would like to institute this as soon as possible so that we could explore program changes. Just a few other minor things related to programming. It was Bloomsday, James Joyce's famous day last week. I think it was on Thursday. And WBAI held their 30th anniversary Bloomsday broadcast, which ran for, I think, 12 hours, I think it was. Whilst we didn't run it on air, we did direct people to the WBAI website on our own website, which I think was a good thing to do and perhaps could start the process of beginning to set up other streams of programming to feed our audience as well as the programming at KPFA itself. We also did the same thing a week prior when there was a large demonstration in Japan following the Fukushima disaster, and we were alerted to this by Steve Zelser, who runs LabourNet, and we also had that on our website so people could be directed to that live broadcast on our website. I thought that was good. We are continuing with web development. There'll be another upcoming web development meeting in about 10 days at the station. And that completes my report.
Thank you very much. It looked to me as if you were reading from a written report.
I was.
And would you be willing to furnish the secretary with a copy?
I would.
Thank you very much. This is a wonderful example of what you all should do when you're making reports. All right, we have a little less than 15 minutes for questions and discussion. Sharam.
Sorry. Andrew, thanks for the report. I appreciate it. Two questions. One has to do with the development director position and the funds. It's a 40K that doesn't include benefits or anything. That's a total. Is there any way we can explore the option of having somebody on a contract basis doing the development for 40K, even if it's for if it's a limited period of time, you know?
Absolutely. In fact, it's something that I had explored, and we had two people come by the office, and we began the process, but I think I jumped the gun a bit, to be quite frank. I think I was talking to two people individually, and I did not make it in quotations an open hire, which I think it probably could be. In other words, I found a couple of people. I was referred to a couple of people who had some development skills and connections in the community and had set aside, I thought, perhaps an amount of $10,000 for each as a consulting fee. One of them was to help set up a KPFA film festival, which is something we're still working on, to go ahead and find venues for such a festival in Berkeley, in San Francisco, and areas such as this, Santa Rosa, Sebastopol. But it's on hold because, as I said, if we were going to do it, we would need to make an open hire, and we haven't proceeded more along any further in that regard. Also because we realized that our budget, we really needed to look more closely at our budget before we started to spend any more money. And I think this current budget process needs to be finalized before we can do that.
And just to follow up on that, the 40K is just for the balance of the year, remainder of the year, right? 3 months. The remainder of the fiscal year that we have, that's 40K, right? Is that what it is for?
There was an amount of $40,000 projected into the budget from the last for this financial year.
Right.
And it's essentially an amount. It's not an actual amount of money that we have. It's a projected amount based on the amount of income we hope to get by the end of the year based on the projections for the 2011 budget.
I see. Okay. One other question, if I may. You said something about setting aside $30,000 for Pacifica office to compensate for some central services. Is that because this issue came up in our unpaid staff meeting as well, that Pacifica had demanded one day of fundraising just for that purpose? Just to be clear, when we talk about central services, how are we doing in terms of paying back the debt that we had in the last budget cycle? We are not actually, we haven't caught up with our debts, yes, have we? I mean, this is something that is from the last budget cycle, right?
My understanding is no, we have not, but I would defer to the LSB treasurer.
Actually, the monies that we owed for the prior fiscal year have all been paid. And what we're paying on now is the central service fees for this year. And we are, we don't pay the exact amount we owe every month, but by the end of the year, we will have either paid it or know how much we have left over. But last year's debt is paid.
So there's nothing...
Okay, Sharam, I'm sorry, but we only have a few minutes, and there are three other people who want an opportunity to speak.
Can I make a really short addendum to my answer?
Sure.
That I do understand there has been comments made about, well, we already pay an amount of money to Pacifica. We have an amount we pay each year. And I've been asked, is that additional to that amount? My understanding that it is additional, and maybe the LSB should know that.
Right, that the $30,000 is in addition to our regular central service fees. Okay. Dan is next, and then Andrea, and then the other Andrea.
So, I definitely support the idea that
a technical glitch.
Sorry. So, I support the idea that you consider hiring someone for development as soon as possible, including for the rest of the year. I would flag as something to be concerned about, though, hiring someone as on a contract versus as an employee. I think that this is probably an unexplored area of Pacifica liability because there's a lot of litigation these days about people hired as contractors who really meet the legal requirements to be an employee. And just for an example, if you hired someone to do a project, you said, okay, $10,000 to do this fundraiser, and that was it, that would be okay. But if you hired someone to do a range of activities, expected them to have an office at the office, keep regular hours, and so on, then we'd best hire that person as an employee.
So. Andrea Pritchett and then Andrea Turner.
I was just wondering, I support, the board. Like I said, we've been pushing for a development director for a while, and it pains me a bit that money, as you mentioned, that's what we used for security, and I know it's difficult choices. I'm curious about grant writing, and is there anything happening along that line? And have we really put out a call for, can that be done on a commission basis? Is there some way that, because I'm fearful that we don't have anything in the works.
I think following the excellent presentation at the NFCB by Kim Klein, and some in the room may be familiar with her, my understanding is she's willing to give us a couple of free hours of consultation. She really opened my eyes on fundraising opportunities, and definitely will be looking further into it. My understanding is, and some can correct me here also, that one is not allowed to actually take commissions on grant writing. In other words, if you go out and raise money and you get $100,000 and you can't pay 10% of that to the person you raise money for. That's my understanding, but maybe Tracy knows more about that than I do.
Okay. Thank you. Andrea and then Laura, and then I think we'll be out of time.
I'll let it go because I was answered.
Okay, thank you.
I just think that the thing we really need, we probably need to speak with Kim Klein and have her help us get a plan, an overall development plan, and then work that plan rather than trying to do one little fundraiser here and one here. We don't have an overarching plan, and she's the kind of person who knows how to do that.
I would absolutely agree. I will approach her. She may want to be paid. She's very highly experienced and inspirational fundraiser.
Anybody else?
For the, and maybe Tracy can help out on this too, because I've always had problems in trying to understand this, the central services overhead charge. What's the formula that this is based on? And how much, I mean, how much do we pay, like, annually?
For the sake of time, would it be okay to address that?
For the sake of time, if it's okay, I was going to address that slightly during the PNB report. So would you mind taking your answer then?
Okay, I'll take it then. Thanks.
Okay. Boy, we came in under time. I love it. We're doing really good here. Thank you very much, Andrew. I really appreciate the written format of the report, and I think that other reporters should take note in the future, come with written reports that can be attached to the minutes and concise. Very good. Okay, so now we're on to the treasurer's report, and we will, this is where we're going to talk about where we are in the budget process. Barbara.
Oops, sorry. I don't want those notes. I'm going to perform less sterlingly here because I have no written report, and you all are going to have to take notes of what you want to remember about today. As I said earlier in our small session about the few budget items we did talk about in the executive session, our hope was to have a draft budget, but in fact we were instructed, or Maria was instructed, not to distribute anything until it's further along, more complete, and had review by the CFO. So and I'll go into reporting what I can about that in just a minute, I want to give three other items that are not related to the budget process, but just the figures that people want to know every time there's an LSB meeting, and that is, how much cash did we have in the bank on May 31st, and what bills did we have waiting to be paid? And so on May 31st, we had $394,800 in the bank. We had a total of 53,845 bills waiting to be paid. I mean, not waiting long, but ready to be paid. And there was $956 worth of bills that were 30 days waiting to be paid. So we really didn't have any big overdue bills. We just had the 53,845 that were just about to be paid out of our $394,800. The other one item thing I wanted to report on, you'll remember we talked about the need for help with the transmitter in Santa Cruz. And so far, our pleas for that have not been very successful. We've received a total of four or five checks, and the amount that is set aside now is only $490. So if any of you have contacts in Santa Cruz or elsewhere who are interested in Santa Cruz reception, we need to lean on that a little more. Well, their reception is spotty, or apparently in parts of that area they can receive it, but not everywhere. And we have some of the equipment, and we have a place to put it, but it needs to be installed within the next few months. The chief engineer has secured a permit and the proper place to put it, but it's going to take about $5,000 to get this transmitter booster installed. Okay.